The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good afternoon. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. Thank you for joining us today. This will air on Monday, August 10th, and we are taping this today, Saturday, August 8th. I only mention that because so much can actually change between now and the airing, but I think it'll be pretty darn accurate. So again, my name is David Leach, the Superintendent of Schools. Thank you for tuning in today. James Japp, the Assistant Superintendent at the secondary level and for technology, is here to help me and help our listeners walk through our school's restart plan, reopening plan. So thanks for tuning in. Today we are going to provide a very general overview of some of the areas and dig a little bit deeper into the actual learning model. So thank you again, James, for being here. And sure. Just want to remind our listeners that at any time, you can visit our website. We actually have a video recording of our last Board of Education meeting, which also highlights many of the topics we're discussing today. So I'll begin reminding everyone of sort of the challenge that we have, which obviously seems pretty obvious, but, we are reopening schools. We got some good news. We believe good news from Governor Cuomo just on Friday that we are permitted to reopen because our infection rate in our region is low, and it's low throughout New York State right now. So we're still in phase four. Regional infection rate is low. And I believe he's going to use this average 7-day rate of about 9%. When the infection rate rises above 9%, I believe he will then close schools regionally. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that that doesn't happen. Being a realist, it probably will at some point, and that's why we're going to spend some of this broadcast talking about the distance learning plan, the remote instruction that we plan on providing. But the spread of COVID-19, we do assume that at some point it will occur in our community, and our educational plans and the mitigation strategies that we are putting into place are going to hopefully reduce this risk to the greatest extent possible, while still be able to provide a quality education for our students. And we are striving to accomplish this with sort of these two fundamental goals at once. We've got the so much change and uncertainty, we have this, we want to get us open, want to get us back to school. We need kids, students need to be in school. Parents have to get back to work, and there's the childcare challenges, and it is very, very difficult. But on the same side, we need to do so safely. So the challenges are probably pretty obvious. And, throughout our process, the guiding principles that we were following, number one, keep our students and our faculty and staff and the community at large safe. And so have a safe learning and working environment here. Then we really strive, number two, to provide as much choice as we could. So, I think it's pretty obvious to all that for a district our size, it is impossible to return with 100% of our students in our school buildings daily and maintaining the required physical distancing requirements and all that this entails. So with that said, still looking to maximize as much in-person instruction as well as provide a distance learning academy, a remote instruction in essence. So that was another guiding principle. Third, we wanted to provide students with instruction at the highest levels, the highest standards, with the necessary supports in place. So today, James will share with us a little bit more about technology. We'll talk throughout the next month about the social and emotional wellness and health supports that we need to provide for students and their families, additional support also needs to be provided for certain cohorts of students. And we, as a guiding principal, made it our youngest students, getting them in to live instruction as much as possible. Well, we'd love everyone, K to 12, to be in school every day in our brick and mortar schools, you know, in the traditional educational program. Well, that may not be possible. We also recognize that our youngest students, the remote instruction is certainly not ideal for them. And our students who are English language learners and our students with disabilities who have unique needs and challenges that must be met. So we'll talk about our program today for those students as well. And then lastly, the final guiding principle, be as clear and proactive and timely with the communication as we can be. And, you know, I certainly don't think we're batting 1,000 there, but we're trying. And it's been very challenging. You know, you've got guidance documents coming out from New York State, maybe about a week before we have to have plans submitted. And there's a lot of change, you know, coming up with a distance learning academy that's as robust as we believe this one's going to be. That's like it's like forming a whole new school. And then a hybrid model, a whole new program with that as well. So challenges, that's for sure. And then, of course, all the guidelines and the safety measures that need to be enforced. So we'll be reviewing that as well. The basic strategies that are put into place during this time, physical distancing, the wearing of masks, probably the most common question we get, you know, and yes, masks will be required for students and staff at all our school sites and parents. And each school will certainly have times and situations for mask breaks, but that is the guidance we're getting from the health department, the directives that we're getting. We've got to keep people safe. And, you know, folks have different opinions, I imagine, about that from what I'm reading, emails we'll receive or posts. But that is a mandate that we are going to follow and we are going to enforce in our schools. So we really need folks to cooperate there. And then, of course, there's general health and hygiene, you know, from health screenings we're going to do to bathroom use to lunch procedures, you know, all that, which if you check out the plan online, if you visit our website, it is detailed there. But if you prefer to watch the video, that may provide some information on the website that's helpful. And as we move through August, we'll start devoting broadcasts specifically to some of those topics, whether it is health and hygiene and transportation, and we'll have some principals join us. You know, and throughout this process, we've had about 150 or actually more members on various committees, whether it's, you know, facilities or nutrition or transportation, school schedules, teaching and learning, which we'll talk about today, school schedules and teaching and learning in more detail, or technology or special education, et cetera. So we've had quite a few folks participate. We appreciate them sharing their expertise, whether it's a local doctor or Dr. Gelman from the Department of Health, or faculty and staff or parents, community members. It's been a big help. So we're very appreciative of that. Communication plan was an area I'll just start with. So I mentioned the microsite. We do have the website. We have our plans published. If you were to print out our plans, they're about 60 pages long. We try to utilize the website so that if changes need to be made, it is a living document. We do continue to get updates on guidance. We have frequently asked questions section. We're up to a little over 60 frequently asked questions. So we'll probably cap it at that, James, or it's not going to be frequently asked, maybe. It's getting a little long.
Sure.
Some folks prefer that type of approach. We're doing our best to answer emails that we receive at our reopening at wvcsd.org email. WTBQ has been a big help for us. So with this broadcast being at least the fourth that we've devoted to the school reopening, the previous broadcast were August 3rd, July 27th, July 20th, they're all on our website. And this broadcast, if you're listening, tuning into WTBQ, obviously you're listening to it now. Otherwise, we will have it on social media and on our website. And we have some town halls coming up. We'll have a couple of town halls that the PTA Council is helping us facilitate and organize. There'll be virtual town halls, but nonetheless, and we'll do our best to answer questions there as well. So when we return, we'll move over to a little bit more about health and safety, and we'll start discussing our educational models that are being offered in a little more detail there. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools.
You have big dreams, big ideas, big kids. Wait, when did they get so big? You have big plans, big things to do, so we built you a bigger Subaru. Subaru listened and delivered the perfect SUV to accommodate everyone and everything in the new three-row 2020 Subaru Ascent. The Subaru brand was awarded the 2019 KBB 5-Year Cost to Own Award. With an EPA estimated highway fuel economy of 27 miles per gallon for 2020 Subaru Ascent and Ascent Premium models with standard equipment. Actual mileage may vary. Visit WayneSubaru.com for a test drive.
Lisa Morrison is a psychic and a clairvoyant medium. Lisa will connect you with those who've crossed over and facilitate messages from your loved ones. You'll receive validations that they're always with you, bringing comfort, healing, and closure. Usually, Lisa offers private and group readings. However, during this time, the sessions are via Skype, Zoom, telephone, etc. To make an appointment, visit PsychicLisaMorrison.com and prepare to be enlightened.
Hi, it's Paul Ruskevich,
Barry Cheney,
and John Vero,
Orange County legislators on the Thursday morning roundtable, 9 to 10 a.m.
Answering all of your questions and concerns
on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ.
Welcome back. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. Thank you for joining me today. With me is James Yap, the assistant superintendent in the district that oversees not only secondary education, but technology and data. So he will be a very helpful guest. You know, why don't we move into the actual education plans a little bit? And I'll begin with just reviewing some of the elementary, the K to six, when I refer to elementary choices and what the plans will look like there. And then we can pivot over to the secondary model. Sound good, James?
Sure. Sounds good.
So, looking at it very, starting with the end in mind, we're going to begin the 2020-21 school year with daily in-person instruction offered for kindergartners, first graders, second graders. Our kindergartners will be at Pine Island Elementary School every day. The day will be shortened by about 40 minutes in length. It'll end right before 3 o'clock. First and second graders will be in every day, whether it's their homeschool park or Sanferville. Again, all our school days are going to be shortened by about 40 minutes. So, but their day will end about 3 o'clock as well. Then we're going to offer the hybrid model where students will come in every other day in Warwick. In grades 3 through 12. So that schedule is aligned, our hybrid schedule. You're coming to school every day, every other day, grades 3 through 12. It aligns with our BOCES and our CTEC and BOCES well. It differs a little bit from some of the models you read about nationally, and we'll highlight some of those differences throughout this broadcast. And then lastly, we're offering remote learning, which sometimes we refer to as our distance learning academy, and that can be a little confusing for some folks and understandable. We really wanted to make a distinction of what we're going to be offering this fall versus what we offered in the spring. It is different, and we'll talk about that in a second. And the distance learning academy or remote learning option for students, that's offered grades K to 12. So while none of this is ideal, you know, when we started this process, we said, boy, it's one of those times when you're going to come to a conclusion, a plan that you know is going to be far from perfect and not ideal and be unpopular. But adhering to these health and safety guidelines, we feel we're offering for a district our size quite a bit. There are districts throughout the state that are not opening until October. There are districts throughout the state that are going to open midway through September and only start seeing smaller groups of kids and then slowly try to get to the hybrid model. And then there's some smaller districts that may be able to even offer more based on more in person rather. but maybe not a remote learning option. So each district has a plan that makes sense for its size and its capacity. It's which capacity does not just mean school buildings. So yes, we're reopening Pine Island, but also it deals, of course, with staffing and transportation and buses. So a lot to consider. So let me begin elementary. When we say that K-6, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, and yes, sixth grade. So we are offering remote instruction K-12. And of course, that means K-6. So your distance learning options there, K-6. Kindergarten, now moving over to the, again, kindergarten, first grade, and second grade, daily, every day in person instruction. There'll be smaller cohorts of students. There'll be a teacher, a certified teacher, who will do all the new instruction, deliver all the critical content and skills, and that teacher will work in partnership with an instructional aide. And we have instructional aides in our district for many years, very talented, trained. So the two, the teacher and the instructional aide, will work in tandem. So there's always, of course, supervision, but also instruction taking place. And the instructional aide will help with the reinforcement of skills, with any more independent work, more application. And then the teacher will be in charge of really the crux of the instruction and any new content, et cetera. So that's grades K-1 and 2. The schedule for kindergarten, first and second graders who are in school every day will be very similar to what it has been in the past. Now, there'll be some changes. You'll have, for example, lunch in the classroom, and there's a lot more information coming, and it'll be coming from the principals and the teachers, and you know, so as they start to operationalize these plans. Now, moving over to grades 3 through 6, they'll be following the Warwick hybrid model, which means that they'll be coming to school every other day. That will be also so for grades 3 through 12. But let me talk about the hybrid model, grades 3 through 6. So your child, if they're participating in the hybrid model, grades 3 through 6, will, in many regards, have two teachers. There'll be the teacher that they work with, the certified teacher at the grade that they work with when they're in the building, or teachers, if it's 5th and 6th grade, perhaps.
Yes.
And there'll be a partner teacher on the off days. I say off, I shouldn't use that term, actually. For the, I'll call it at-home day. So when the student's in school, they're in school, the schedule resembles what it did in the past with a teacher at that grade level. And then when they are not in school, there will be 90 minutes of live instruction that'll be done via the computer through Google Meets, and James will talk about the technology in a minute. We'll focus on the core of English language arts and mathematics, certainly. On the days when the students are home. Our thinking is we're going to keep attendance. We're going to have a schedule. But we don't want the student at those age groups, 3 through 6, in front of a screen for 4 hours a day. But 90 minutes is a good length of time, and there's going to be assignments to do, and it'll be more independent type of work. There'll be, as the students get a little bit older, they can be a little more self-reliant. Of course, it needs to be differentiated, but we're not looking for parents to be the primary teacher during the hybrid days when the students are home or not in school. There'll be more independent tasks. So there'll be teachers that'll be providing that reinforcement, and there's a partnership. So there's the in-school teacher, and there's the hybrid when the students are home teacher, and they're working to move the curriculum forward in a responsible way, reinforcing what was taught when the students were in session. And keep in mind, with our hybrid model, it is every other day. Now, what's the con of every other day? Well, the con is it makes it harder for childcare because it's not a set Tuesday, Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever model. So that's a con. We admittedly recognize that up front. What are the pros? Well, the pros are you're picking up significant time in school. You know, if you think about it, there's many weeks during a school year that are not full weeks of school. There's not 5 days in many weeks. So if you were to take a calendar and look at, you know, every other week, if they were all 5 day weeks, every other week with our model, the student will be in person 3 days. So if we went with just a model that's popular throughout the state is, you know, let's say a given day of the week. So Monday, the students are all home and they come in 2 days a week. If it's a full week, if we went with that model, there'd be significantly less instructional time. Number two, we've got our high school, which James will talk about our CTEC program, but our BOCES in high school, our BOCES and CTEC students are following the same schedule we are. So remember, if your child attends the career and tech program at BOCES, they come back to us typically in the afternoon around lunchtime. Sometimes they're taking their classes at other times, but most students attend CTEC in the morning. They come back to us and they're part of our educational program. They take our classes. They are, you know, they're participating in the school. If we don't line our schedule up with CTEC, those, you know, 150 or so students, 130 students, whatever it is, it varies each year. Well, that's a problem. That's going to be a problem. So then, of course, the whole social emotional piece of being in school, and then we are offering the Distance Learning Academy. So if by chance that's a problem and folks prefer that, there's different models, but not ideal. We recognize that that presents some challenges, but that's the reasoning behind it. Get students in school as often as possible. We will publish a calendar that shows the cycle days, you know, which is basically AB over and over repeated to help with scheduling. Moving on to the K-6 Distance Academy, the remote instruction. It is an option. It's offered every day. Students do not come to school. It's remote instruction. It's 90 minutes of core instruction daily, followed by opportunities for small group meetings and Google Meets. It's our own Warwick teachers with Warwick students. And they've been working hard at enhancing the instruction and the program there. So those that are interested in that model, don't feel comfortable coming back to school during the pandemic, regardless of the safety measures that we're taking, regardless of the hybrid model, reducing the student enrollment by about half in each building. This we're offering this model, this K-6 Distance Learning Academy for all elementary students. We are not able to offer it. We're not able to keep the PI program intact for grades 3, 4, and then the MAC for 5, 6. Based on, you know, we're still waiting for student enrollment forms to come back, and we'll know more soon about specific enrollment preferences, choices. But, you know, while we're offering, you know, we mentioned the hybrid model, the remote model. We're going to have, if you elect to do the Distance Learning Academy and you're part of a PI program or MAC program, then you're going to be
at any grade level, K-1, 2, or 3, 4, or 5, 6.
What's that?
You're not guaranteed a PI teacher for the Distance Learning Academy.
Got it. That's better said. And then lastly, special education. Our K-4 special class model will come in every day. Our middle school and high school students will have their specialized special classes will come in every day for special education, the small group classes. And our ENL students, English as a second language students, K-4, they'll be in every day, and then we're looking to see what we can do at the other grade levels. When we return, we'll pass the mic over to James Japp, who will familiarize us with the technology plan and as well as what's happening at the 7 through 12 levels. This is David Leach, and you're listening to Your Schools.
Want that million-dollar feeling? Then tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. with Brian Baird and learn how the language of life and the universe influences you and your life and all those around you. You will be the master of your fate and learn how to let go of your past and create a future filled with great success in life, love, and business with a million-dollar feeling. Get your life in high gear and visit milliondollarfeeling.com for more information.
School goes on. And Staples has everything to start the year right.
From notebooks to sanitizer, laptops to masks.
And all at amazing prices. This week, a 12-pack of Staples No. 2 pencils, 120-sheet filler paper, and select plastic pencil boxes are just 50 cents each.
Shop in-store or pick up curbside.
School on, save on at Staples.
Ends A15. Filler paper and pencil boxes valid in-store only. Limit 6. Limits vary online. While supplies last, curbside available in most stores.
Hi, this is Michael Newhart, Mayor of the Village of Warwick, inviting you to tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. to Village Life and learn about the village happenings. Call and share your ideas, comments, and suggestions, and be part of the show with me and Mary Calora.
WTBQ Weather!
We're on the sunny side this afternoon with an isolated shower or storm not ruled out here. It stays hot and humid, highs nearing 90. Tonight, mostly clear with some patchy fog developing toward Tuesday morning, upper 60s. Tomorrow is another steamy day. Watch for a stray shower or storm again, high 90 to 94. And then for Tuesday evening, we see a storm or shower and early partially clear around 70. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm WeatherWorks meteorologist Michael Prianti.
WTBQ.
Welcome back. This is David Leach, and you're listening to Your Schools. Joining me today is James Yap, the assistant superintendent in the district who oversees the secondary division as well as technology and data. And James, I'm going to pass the mic to you. So far, if someone's just tuning in, we've reviewed the educational choices at the K to 6 level. And why don't you familiarize us with the 7 through 12?
Sure. So if you're listening for the first part or if you have students or you've looked at some of the documentation, there's definitely some similarities between K-6 and 7-12, and there's some definite differences. And so I'll go over those and also try and keep in mind some of the questions that we've received just so that I can clarify the message of the district and make sure that we're all on the same page and everyone understands. So in grades 7 through 12, each student will receive a schedule toward the end of August that will entail a maximum of 8 courses. And that does not, the schedule will be the same whether you are choosing our remote option, the Distance Learning Academy, or if you choose the hybrid model, the schedule, the time periods, because we will be live streaming. Just live streaming the teacher and the instruction that is happening. So we'll be starting instruction around 8 in the morning, and whether you're a Distance Learning Academy student or you are a student that has chosen the hybrid model and that you'll be coming into the school, you will start instruction right around 8 and finish right around in the afternoon, right around 1:40, right around that time. So to accomplish this, the high school and the middle school administration worked really, really hard to develop a schedule, and we spent hours going over it and tearing it apart and starting again and just making sure that it really held water and that we were trying to meet all the mandates of the Department of Health, the Department of Education, and just our own personal values, and that we were holding it to the highest possible standard that we could. So for that reason, even though that the schedule will outline 8 periods or 8 courses, a maximum of 8 courses, each day a student will only have 4 courses that will be 75 minutes of instruction. And why we landed on 4 periods a day was to limit the amount of changes. So one thing that Dr. Leach mentioned when he was talking about K-6 is the word cohort, and that we're cohorting the students. We're trying to keep the same students together in very small numbers. And we're doing the exact same thing in grade 7 through 12. We're trying to keep the numbers small. We're trying to keep the periods longer so that they're with the same students and they're not in the hallway constantly, where some school districts have decided to have all 8 periods in one day. We decided that we're going to try and prevent the infection by having only four changes. So there would be two periods and then a lunch that again would happen in the classroom and then two more periods. So just as a sample, the first day would be 1, 2, 5, 6 periods 1 and 2 in the morning and periods 5, 6, 5 and 6 in the afternoon. So, and then the next day would be the exact same so that those students that were at home can see the exact same teachers, but now in person and vice versa. So in within those 75 minutes of instruction, the instruction will kind of be broken down this way. What we're advising the teachers is at the beginning of every class that they take about 30 to 40 minutes to review homework, go over a whole class lesson, and get the students ready for the next time they see them. So that should take about 30 to 40 minutes. When the teacher decides that that time period has elapsed and that they're the students are ready and now it's time to break into more small group instruction where they would be answering questions, they would be reviewing the homework more individually, helping students with any questions, that's when they'll turn to those students that are remote, that are live streaming, so that they are either, this is not their day to come to school, they're part of the hybrid model, and this isn't their day to attend school, or they're part of the Distance Learning Academy, they would say at that time, okay, you can sign off. It's been about 30, 35 minutes. I'm going to focus on the 10 to 12 students in front of me. So those students that are in front of them, of course, stay in the class and complete the rest of the 75 minutes. The next day, those students that were in front of them are back home and they'll experience the same thing. They'll be with the teacher for about 30 minutes and then they'll go off and they can work on their own. To help with the Distance Learning Academy students, as well as the remote students, on the days that they're not attending, so the distance learning, that would be every day, and those that choose the hybrid model that are coming to school every other day, then it would be every other day they would be at home. At the end of the day, there will be office hours that they can sign up for as well. So to provide another entry point to ask and answer questions and clarify different assignments that might be happening. So to review that again, each period will be 75 minutes. There'll be a 30 or 40 minutes in person, and then they'll break out into individual assignments if they're in person. So in total, over the four-day period, every class period, every student is expected to get about 100 minutes of instruction, about 30 minutes remotely, and about 75 minutes in person. So a little over 100 minutes.
So again, this is grade 7 through 12 hybrid.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it will be basically the exact same if it's a Distance Learning Academy student. They'll just be streaming into the class every day. So same teachers. And why we chose to do the live streaming at the secondary level is because compared to some other schools, we're trying to provide almost the exact same course catalog as if this was a normal year. So a question that we get quite often is about, how about art? How about engineering? How about music? We are going to try and offer all those safely and effectively as best to our ability as possible. There are only a few courses that we kind of took off the table, and the only reason why we did was because of the fact that to provide social distancing, we just could not pull that off. But those classes were few and far between. So most of the course catalog is available, including honors courses, art courses, music courses, physical education when you're in person. All those courses are still available. and a student can avail themselves of those opportunities throughout the year. So we wanted to make sure that we are offering all those electives and that they would have a chance to participate in all those. And as Dr. Leach mentioned, our CTEC program as well, which is Career and Technical Education. We have three of those programs within the school, which are cosmetology, video production, and criminal justice. So we'll be offering those in-house as well as sending students over to BOCES to participate in several more if they've signed up for those, and our schedule matches up very nicely with that. So throughout this, one big area that the state highlights, but I'll just say a few quick words about, is student attendance. Compared to last year, last spring, where student attendance was a little bit more loosey-goosey, this year it is a New York State mandate. So attendance will be mandated, and we'll be reviewing this with the students. And what attendance means, especially when they're remote, is that the student will have a working Chromebook with the camera on and the microphone muted, except if there was a class discussion, then the microphone would be on. But the camera has to stay on, and they have to participate in some form or fashion, and we're leaving that up to the teacher's discretion as far as what that means. But student attendance is not just turning in assignments, it's actually participating, leaving the camera on, and participating in the class itself. That's what we're constituting, especially when the students are remote. So that lays out some of the basic outline of the 7 through 12 model.
Yeah, so before we go to the commercial, then we'll pick up talking about, I think, technology and some of the other components of this plan. What I heard from you is the following. You correct me if I'm wrong. I heard that there's going to be a distance learning academy or remote instruction offered also for grades 7 through 12.
Mm-hmm. By our teachers.
By our teachers. The student is going to be streaming in, or whatever the right word is, with their computer. They're going to be required. There'll be attendance taken.
Mm-hmm.
On pretty much the same course catalog offered to them.
Yes.
And it's similar to what a student will do in the hybrid model on the day where they're not in school in person.
Exactly.
But there will be pretty high standards. It's not going to be about just logging in and turning off your camera or not logging in at all. There's going to be attendance taken, and it's going to be a schedule followed.
Exactly.
Okay. So when we return, we'll continue to discuss the Warwick Schools Restart Plan. This is David Leach, and you're listening to Your Schools on WTBQ.
Curaleaf is Hudson Valley's number one medical cannabis dispensary. And today's your lucky day. New patients can get up to a 30% discount on their first purchase. And if you're a veteran, you'll always qualify for a discount. Curaleaf wants well-informed clients, so call today for an appointment with our pharmacologist and start feeling good every day. Curaleaf is conveniently located at 8 North Plank Road in Newburgh. For more information, visit ny.curaleaf.com.
Dr. Agathy Pierre-Louis is one of the top clinical psychologists in Orange County, and she will be your guide to healing and creating a positive relationship with family, friends, and coworkers. Confusion and emotional difficulty with self-esteem, parenting, or moving forward? Then contact Dr. Pierre-Louis, who will guide you in making the right decisions to build a life healthy in mind, body, and spirit. To make an appointment or for more information, visit byembracetherapy.com.
Hi, this is Tom Lovelace. Join me and my guest every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for the Lovelace Music Experience. Exciting interviews and great music from every genre, right here, playing the best music.
WTBQ.
Welcome back. This is David Leach, Superintendent of Schools in the Warwick Valley Central School District, and you are listening to Your Schools, along with James Yap, the Assistant Superintendent. And today we are focusing on, as we have been now for months, getting back to school. And it's just a very different summer for us, and it's a very different summer for families as they make some of the most difficult decisions, very unfortunate decisions that have to be made. You know, we've been discussing what the process has been like, and, you know, schools throughout the world are really reinventing themselves for the 2020-21 school year, given the pandemic and the physical distancing requirements, the safety requirements that need to come into play. And, you know, most public schools of any size, you know, there's some exceptions. You know, there's some districts out there that have just a handful of kids at grade level. Well, that's a little different, but they might be able to pull off. And, you know, it got me thinking, James, you know, typically when you're, there's pros and cons of being in a small district versus a medium size versus a large district. And this is one of, you know, one of those times where probably the smaller the district, the more in person they may be able to pull off. And of course, some of the cons are you don't have the other opportunities typically in the smaller districts.
That's exactly right.
The electives and course options. And there's, you know, there are always no perfect model out there, but it does capacities that comes into play. Capacity meaning space, but also human capital, which may be equally, if not more important, quite frankly. So before the last break, we were reviewing a little bit about the challenge, what some of our guiding principles were, the strategies, mitigation strategies that we're looking to implement, and we'll go in much greater detail as we move through the month of August and start to operationalize that so we can take a look at our plans, revise them, strengthen them, and then talk about what it actually looks like in practice. A little bit about the process, how we got to where we are today. We did learn Friday that New York schools will reopen. Governor Cuomo made a statement, which I think is very accurate. If any place can do it, it's New York, particularly with our infection rate being low right now in comparison to other states throughout the country. And James and I have been reviewing the educational plans. And a big part of the educational plan, regardless if you are, part of the Distance Learning Academy or remote instruction or the hybrid model, and those K-1 and 2 coming into school, is technology. And it is a, you know, big challenge. I was reading, James, that there's districts even not too far from us that they're getting back to the word capacity, or, you know, technology is a challenge. Whether it's the broadband is the term I'll use. You'll correct me in a minute. The speed, or it's the lack of devices. And maybe you could educate our listeners a little bit on what we've done prior to today in the technology area, particularly with the internet speed and reliability, and, you know, talk us through that a little bit, because you've done a lot of planning in that area and a lot of implementation over the past few years.
Sure. So the district has done a fantastic job at supporting the infrastructure as well as the instructional technology for the district and trying to provide a lot of different resources. So we have something that'll probably a lot of the parents, or at least the elementary parents, are aware of, that is called ClassLink, that allows us each student to sign in once, but then have access to a multitude of resources and not have to sign into each one individually. We've had that for a few different years, and it's well touted, and it's a great experience for the students because they can get to a lot of resources very, very quickly. We use Google as a base. We use Google Classroom. We use Google Meet for our streaming and our video conferencing with our students when they're on the remote day. We have very good internet, and we improved it over the summer. So we have a 2 gig connection, which is very fast, and it's dedicated to Warwick itself. To Warwick Valley Central School District. We have a 2 gig connection that is for the middle school and high school.
Now explain that to us. So, you know, I'm reading that there's some districts throughout the country, whether it's their speed or how they've gone about this infrastructure, that's making pulling off the hybrid and remote very difficult. So when you say 2 gig or it's our own line, like, explain that a little bit further for us.
So 2 gig, the gig part stands for 1,000. So it's 2,000 megabytes. And what most people say is for video conferencing, you need about 2 to 3 meg. Just, you know, 2 to 3 versus 2,000. And there is, we have more than enough so that all of our students and teachers can stream and not feel like the network is weighing them down or that the network is skipping. So that is why we're trying to get as many of our teachers into the district so that they can take advantage of that. And then we also even pair off and we have the elementaries on their own so that we can have those teachers have their own internet connection. So Pine Island, Park, and Sanfordville have a gig connection. So the speed itself, we have more than enough to pull off video streaming, even if every single teacher was streaming at the exact same time. So it's very robust, and we've invested, the district has invested a lot of money and time to not only have that, but also to make it extremely secure with different cybersecurity pieces and filters so that we deliver the right content and we deliver it securely to all of our teachers and to our students. On top of that, later this week, we will be putting out a form because all of our 3 through 12 students will be getting their own Chromebook, and they will be signing up for slots that will happen between August 24th and August 28th. We'll be probably doing this at the high school, and each child will get their own. This isn't to say that K2 students won't have their own. They actually will have their own. But they will keep those, because they are coming to school every single day, they will be keeping those devices at school, and they won't have to worry about them when they're going home. To differentiate even further, in grades 3 and 4, the students will pick them up that last week in August, August 24th through the 28th, but then we're going to ask them to keep them at home, and that they won't have to bring them back and forth. We really see the social emotional as one of our main tenets of our plan and one of our driving forces. So we want to make sure that our younger students are really getting that social emotional connection with those classroom teachers. And so we want them to have those Chromebooks at home and not necessarily in front of them during the day. So grades 5 through 12, they will be bringing back the device themselves, bringing it back and forth. They'll be utilizing it in the classroom as well as at home. It'll be a major driving force as far as how we're delivering some of the instruction. One of the things that parents saw as a need was for the district to develop a template for Google Classroom. So I worked with what we call our instructional technology facilitators, or for short, our ITFs, just this past week, on developing a template so that the Google Classroom experience will be similar from teacher to teacher. So that should definitely help.
You mean so the student will, it'll look the same for students?
Exactly. The students, each Google Classroom, especially in grades 5 through 12 where they have multiple teachers, mm-hmm. that the experience will look very similar so that they won't have to learn a whole new interface from teacher to teacher. The district has also invested in MiFi devices, which are small portable internet, and we're basing that on family need so that if a family for whatever reason really needs internet and might not have it, we're providing that. We're also turning on our outdoor wireless for all of the buildings, including Pine Island, so that all of the buildings will have outdoor wireless. So a student could or a parent could even pull up right in front of the school, and they will have access to the internet even if it was a weekend. So just another way of trying to provide fast, quick internet access to our learning community throughout Warwick and at all of the schools. So that's a basic rundown of some of the technology that will be coming, some of it new, some of it we've been working on for years, but gives a general overview of where the technology is at this time.
Yeah, well, thank goodness. You know, can you imagine if, you know, God forbid this pandemic would have hit us five, six, seven years ago or 5 years ago, we wouldn't have the devices to go home. We wouldn't have the internet speed or the reliability. Not to say that there couldn't be hiccups with the weather or, you know, and I know you're working hard with our friends out in Pine Island to see if we can get the signal strength in there a little bit. Not always the role of the school district, but our roles are certainly shifted in terms of the areas that we're focusing on versus in the past. So, but I think I would say thank you, James. It was a great summary of technology. And I know we are running out of time for today's broadcast. So again, please visit our website. We've got the video from the recent board meeting where we review a lot of this information, go in a little bit more detail than we could during this time on the broadcast. We have the microsite set up, frequently asked questions set up. We will have more broadcasts throughout the month where we'll target transportation and then, you know, health and safety and facilities, how we're going to clean, et cetera, as we operationalize those plans. We have our town hall meetings that'll be coming up later this month, where families can continue to ask questions about the plan in general. And again, more of the details. We'll have some principals join us for those town halls and others who can answer those questions. So we're doing our best with the communication. We can always do better. So thanks for your patience and understanding during these difficult times. And we want to, you know, we're certainly thinking of everyone and understand that difficult choices are being made by all of us and sacrifices. And we appreciate that. And we're thankful to our community that's always been so supportive of our schools. And we are given all these challenges, and while the choices are far from ideal, nothing replaces that in-person everyday experience for students and most of our opinions. We're excited about the prospect of restarting our schools. Thank you, James. And until next time, this is David Leach, and you have been listening to Your Schools. Bye now.